Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, another dry, sunny, wonderful.
It's a little chilly out there, actually, though.
But it's chilly, but you don't notice it because the sun's out unless you're out there. But it's an amazing period of the drought, I guess, yeah. In some sense, but you don't see any snow. So everyone's, if you look out the window, other than it's brown, it doesn't look like winter at all. But this is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Okay, Matt Arnold will be joining us in a minute. So yesterday, a huge victory for Grassroots.
We're talking huge.
Huge for Grassroots. The Colorado courts smacked down.
District Court
smacked down GOP Chair Britta Horn's vindictive lawfare that she's been dragging on, seeking revenge, trying to punish, trying to silence anyone who questioned her. The court smacked her down. And in so doing, left her alone to deal basically with the financial disaster that she's plunged the Colorado Republican Party, into. And Matt will come on because Matt was one of the lawyers who had filed one of the lawsuits. But I guess it sort of intentionally gets you to kind of briefly summarize. Initially, Matt, remember, this is going back a year and a half ago now.
I don't even go into that because I mean, there's lots of litigation that goes back for years. And
he's here.
With the two parties fighting it out. But for the last six, 7 months, it's all been on one, which is usually a quick procedure. The demand by the Republican Party and Britta and their lawyer, Clinda, for attorney's fees.
Which was, we've been saying for a long time, courts rarely grant. Rather the courts dismissed the cases basically without ruling on the merits of any of it. That should have been the end of it months and months ago. But Clinda kept billing tens of thousands of dollars. Britta kept pursuing revenge and vindictiveness dragging it out. And then yesterday, I guess maybe the day before, the courts came down and ruled Britta does not get legal fees. There are no sanctions, no anything. Matt, if you want to go ahead and unmute yourself, a huge victory.
Yeah.
For Matt Arnold. So congratulations and thank you for your time today.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a huge victory, a very, very long, long slog. It should not have been anywhere near that long. It was very aggravating that it went on as long as it did. And it frankly never should have been brought in the first place. They violated all sorts of procedural rules to even file the claim for attorney fees against me personally and against this investigative committee, which had been dismissed from the case months before. And
right.
Then they filed their notice of dismissal, Steve Clinda did. And all the defendants voluntarily agreed to waive any claims for costs, any claim, which of course costs in that case would include attorney fees. Attorney fees are a form of costs, legally speaking. So they waived all that. And then the case dragged on for a bit and they had individual plaintiffs that were also trying to intervene in the case and preserve the rights of the party and the party controversy, which had tried to hold these coup plotters accountable for the immense damage that they did to the party back in August and September 2024. And the court, without adjudicating the merits of the underlying complaint, in any case, either the party, and this is the real plot twist here, of course, is the party brought the lawsuit against the coup plotter.
You probably don't want to go into it. Nobody's going to know, have any idea what you're talking about. And
right.
If you go back months and months of litigation, but it really comes down to they wanted attorney's fees from the people who brought cases. And after 7 months.
No, it wasn't. They didn't want attorney fees against the people who brought cases. They wanted attorney fees against the people who tried to intervene, to preserve the right of the party to collect against the people who violated the party bylaws, who caused immense damage to the party. And the only reason the case got dismissed is because one of the defendants became the plaintiff.
Yeah.
And, and an amazing breach of ethics.
Confusing.
And this is the mind-boggling thing. Steve Klenda, the attorney, the personal attorney for Berta Horn, also became the attorney for the Colorado Republican Party at the same time in the same case, which violates all sorts of ethics rules. The court never should have allowed it. Never should have allowed it. When Klenda filed, and oh, by the way, Berta Horn had already defaulted in that case. She had already lost because Klenda had screwed up and had failed to timely file his answer to the complaint. So as of April 1st, April Fools, hello, Berta Horn had lost. She was personally liable for all of the damages claimed by the Colorado Republican State Party against all the defendants. The other defendants had asked for an extension of time, and they were still good. They still had time to file their answer. Klenda screwed up, didn't file on time. His client, Berta Horn, was personally liable.
No one knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's something
you're losing them all.
Rather than attacking Matt after you invited
him. Not attacking him. I'm just saying. If you want to go back into the cases, it's incredibly interesting.
But it is a great job. This is why Berta Horn was trying to recoup her own losses because she was already in the hole to Klenda. She was legally in the hole to the state party. So somehow she decided, oh, I have this brilliant idea. I will try to recoup my own personal losses, the money that I owe Steve Klenda, which apparently, and this has come out, and it only came out because of the fact that they were dumb enough to try to come after me personally. and I fought them to a standstill. And it has come out that when Berta took office, she came into office with legal bills to Steve Klenda. Klenda billed the party $90,000 before she even took office.
Right.
That is impossible.
Right.
There is no way that there was any legitimate work that Steve Klenda did for the Colorado Republican Party before Berta Horn became chair. And yet, amazingly enough, apparently, according to what has been put out, and it only came out because the party was dumb enough to come after me, and I fought them to a standstill, and this came out throughout the course of this litigation, that Steve Klenda had billed the party $90,000 before he even became the state party attorney.
And that's the thing.
And since then, he's billed the party another, $160,000 on top of that?
Right. And then that just...
We're talking $250,000 that the Colorado Republican Party is, at least theoretically, in the hole that Steve Klenda for. So if you're a Colorado Republican and you're donating to the Colorado Republican State Party, you're really donating to Steve Klenda.
Exactly.
Well, that was really why it went on for so long. It's because Steve Klenda indicated to Berta, I think, hey, we have a very good chance of getting attorney's fees against the pro se plaintiffs, and particularly
Eric and Cody LeBlanc.
Eric Cody LeBlanc, we'll have on some other time. And therefore, you know, the fact that the party was bankrupt basically because of the legal fees,
bankrupted and in the hole, apparently.
Yeah.
And would have no ability.
She can't raise money.
$100,000 less in the prior 6 months of the end of last year. We'll get this month in a couple of weeks, but it was a one hope that she could say, see, there's the last straw she had of saying, okay, we're all going to be all right under my stewardship. I'm going to get all the money from that Midas of legal money.
Never had a chance, never had a legal leg to stand on. And in fact, any competent attorney should have told her that.
But they didn't. And so she and her people have really relied on this for months upon months and upon months.
Now
that it's
lawfare
over.
Lawfare was her whole fund. I mean, that's just to kind of simplify so folks understand. The legal, the actual legal cases themselves, the original things, went away months ago. And the whole thing could have gone away.
It was only for attorney's fees. That was the only dispute.
Everything since August has been nothing
and
more
Aussie.
Than Steve Klenda yes. and Scott Gessler trying to realign their pockets.
Right.
And I guess they probably have been. I mean, I suppose Scott Gessler has been paid by his clients while he's been trying to get more money from other people, i.e. me, which was never going to happen. And Steve Klenda has been presumably getting paid something from the Colorado Republican State Party
$10,000
to continue this lawfare, and has this, you know, this supposed debt owed to him pending looming out there.
Well, and the thing is,
while all this lawfare's been going on,
all of these legal fees, all of them could have gone away and quit piling up. What did the court
7 months ago?
None of this ever should have been generated. As of July 11th, when the court granted Britta Horn / Steve Klenda's notice of dismissal, which they filed in June, that should have been the end of it. That should have been the last bill that Steve Klenda should have ever submitted to the party for this.
Right.
This case should have been June 11th. Maybe he should have billed them 1/10 of an hour for reading the ruling when he received that on June 11th or July 11th. That should have been the end of it.
Right.
Instead, he has added on countless tens of thousands, if not $100,000, in a fruitless pursuit of attorney fees that he never had any reasonable prospect of
but I don't think
Britta, and zero prospect of ever collecting.
I don't think Britta knew that. And they certainly had all the people believing that they could come out, get out of this hole through these attorney's fee requests. Or at least part of it.
Well, it was her only fundraising option, right? She can't raise any money. So Britta's only hope to get any money was these ridiculous attorney fees. Like you said, they should have known. I knew they weren't ever going to get them too. Rather than just stopping it and saying, we're going to quit throwing bad money after even worse money, we're just going to end it now. And it all goes away.
They could not.
And then they
would have fallen apart.
I told them in April.
They needed this litigation.
The point is,
it held her together for 7 months. And now
I told them in April, just walk
gone.
Away.
Now it's
they,
gone.
They chose violence and they violated themselves.
Well, yeah. And you know, then they went after Cody and Eric, who, you know, don't have $141,000. That was just pure mean-spiritedness. So
yes.
She could have.
It's pure spite.
You could have been unifying the party, kind of, you know, helping elect candidates, doing all of this instead.
She couldn't. You have to understand she had no choice because she can't raise money. There was no money in the party.
No, I'm saying it's
she had to have the illusion.
Theoretically.
She had to have the illusion.
To Julie's point, somebody other than Britta.
Yeah.
You're right. Britta was incapable.
It was legally possible for her to let it go. Way. Not,
oh, yeah,
that's what I'm
yeah.
trying to say, not practically speaking. And so the whole thing is, I mean, it's a disaster. And the judge then yesterday said, okay, we're done. It's done. No legal fees. So now all of a sudden, as you said, any dollar donated if for the next God knows how long to
the rest of time
to the Colorado Republican,
rest of time.
Yeah, is simply right. going to go to pay Steve Klenda.
Well, in part, sure, there'll be some arrangement where they'll promise, okay, we'll pay our only employee now, Alec
Hannah.
We'll use the rest for this and that. But at that rate, this bill will get paid in about a decade.
But it shouldn't. It was all frivolous. None of it should be paid. It should be repudiated. And that's why this coming party controversy meeting is important.
Right.
The folks who show up at this should not only vote to repudiate any continuation of this lawfare, because I mean, it's possible they could be stupid enough to try to appeal this ruling,
right?
Which really insane, but they could. I mean, Klenda might be able to convince Britta Horn, hey, let's throw even more worse money after the worst money after the worst money to maybe roll the dice and hey, let's double down, casino Vegas, baby. Let's
right.
go for it. They might be stupid enough to try that.
Even they are.
And the Central Committee has got to be smart enough to not allow them to be stupid enough to try that.
That's what I
And they should also go one further and say, we need to repudiate all of this debt that's happened up to this point because this was frivolous. It was groundless. It was vexatious. It was a complete waste of time and money. You have riven the party. You have wasted time. You have made us a laughing stock. You have completely exposed the state party attorney as grossly incompetent. And we are going into an election cycle where you need competent legal representation for the state party, because there will be legal challenges. There will be election challenges. There will be campaign finance challenges. There will be a whole slew of things where you need actual competent attorneys helping both the state party and the county parties and candidates. And right now, Republicans don't have that.
Well,
they
I keep in mind too.
They have proven losers that are representing the parties at that level.
And Klunda, let's not forget, is also now himself, because of his actions in this case, under an ethics investigation by the Colorado Supreme Court Office of Attorney Regulation. So he's got an ethics complaint filed against him, which they hardly ever do that. So, you know, it's like,
well, it's like there's a trend of Colorado Republican state party attorneys facing ethics violations and.
Well, which is fine. You will not get a competent attorney to work on the Republican Party. The only chance you have is that the person will say, well, you will, in fact, pay me in advance.
Right.
No one is going to take this. No attorney today.
Steve Glenda, before you pay me.
Say, well, I'm thinking this will cost $100,000. Okay, great. You give me $150,000 and I'll return the other $50,000 at some later date. They're not going to get competent legal counsel. They're just not.
No.
It's going to be hard.
Under this leadership, it's a problem.
And you're right. And so that's why, so folks, again, so that on Saturday, we're having a special state central committee meeting. One of the biggest issues there is to basically tell Brittlehorn to tell Steve Klenda to quit this lawfare. And it's a vote of no confidence in her. And I think you're right, Matt. There are some people who may say, well, okay, it's over now. And it's not, God knows, they've been so foolish and they've been so vindictive so far. Like you said, they could be stupid enough to say, oh, well, I'm going to appeal it. I mean, at this point, Steve Klenda has nothing to lose but time, I guess, and money. So
we need
to make sure.
That one's even, I mean, to appeal denial of attorney's fees is truly, truly insane.
The burden on the loser in that would be, as you know, Chuck, almost insurmountable. It would be an enormous, enormous waste. And it would also open up all of the other improprieties in the case, including the fact that Britta's default has never actually been ruled on in this case. It could all be unwound. The entire dismissal of the case could presumably be unwound on appeal. So, I mean, sure, go ahead, Stevie, roll the dice.
Here's one from Dr. Donna. What, Britta can't hire Ryan Call? Well, as a practical matter, up until now, you know, we'd always have to consider the worst party chair, Ryan Call, because he was, you know, stealing money and disbarred and everything else. But Britta's outdone him. So, I mean, that he has to be thankful for Britta as the worst party chair in the 200 since, what, 1876? The worst party chair. And now she's
150 years.
Nothing's ever going to, I don't think, personally, I don't think the Republican Party will ever dig its way out. But if it has any chance, it's got to recall Britta. And it's not going to be easy because she still has the Adams County chair likes her, you know, because she's nuts and some others. But if any chance, you have to be recalled, have a new chair, if you can find a new chair. And the party is, you know, it's and have somebody with some professionalism to try to put the party back. I don't think it can be put back personally. I think it's dead, but it's, you know, it's fun.
It would be a monumental undertaking. It would take someone with truly statesmanlike qualities. And boy, I wish them luck. It would be it'd be a heck of an undertaking.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, so we want.
Is that your campaign speech to become party chair?
No.
God, no.
No, God, no.
No way. You could not pay me. Talking about money in advance, you could not pay me enough.
It's good. The whole thing has gone, and we've gone on and on the show forever saying that just the conflict of interest is so enormous, right? The only person who is telling Britta to continue, you've got the vice chair begging her,
Secretary,
begging her to just
Treasurer,
drop it.
every vice chair she's ever had.
Except for
Oh,
Glenda,
quit.
who's the one who's owed the money, right? And he's like, no, we need to keep going. And now the judge has said, there's no more to, there's no, stop it. You're not getting any of this money. It was, as you said, it was just vindictive and foolish of them to even keep pursuing it. It could have all gone away. And I agree with you. This meeting on Saturday is important because we need to make it clear to Britta and Steve Klenda they can't keep doing this.
Well, but like everything else, you know, that Britta does, now she's called for a different
Her
meeting,
meeting.
her meeting, you know, 2 weeks later. So this will be
We have
another.
to go to that too then.
The only thing, only hope they have is, I forget who it is, but we signed it the other day.
Jason Entz, I think. Yeah.
A petition to recall Britta. I mean, that's the only hope. And it won't happen until after the disastrous November elections, which is a tough cycle for Republicans this year. But in Colorado, it'll be horrendous. Has to be horrendous. Maybe we can hang on to the congressional seats because that's all funded through the Americans for Prosperity. But other than that, I mean, normally you don't expect to get any help from the state party, but you don't want them dragging you
Yeah,
down.
you don't want to making it worse, right? So, all
Right.
right. Well, Matt, listen, we will let you go. Everybody here is saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank
Yeah,
you.
congratulations.
Thank you for the great, as always, legal work that you do. I mean,
Yeah.
nobody's like
Another victory for the man.
Matt, thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
Yep.
Thank you.
Well, as I told them at the outset, you know, when they were foolishly pursuing this, look, guys, the outcome is a given. I win, you lose. It may take a while, but that is the guaranteed eventual outcome.
Exactly. All
There you
right,
go.
Matt,
There
thank
you
you
go.
very much.
Thank you, Matt.
So on top of that, then too, things got even worse. We talked to you about how Britta Horn, because she was annoyed that Russ Andrews was doing his job as the party secretary and sending out emails regarding party issues, was mad at him. So she revoked his email ability to send out emails, which he has to do. He's a sec. I mean, and then so he responded, he does not work for her. We elected him.
Right,
He's
definitely.
he, and he has his own duties, and she can't just cut it off. And so apparently, the congressional representatives got involved and called her back and said, "No, what are you doing? You have to give Russ Andrews his. You have to give him his email. He's a party secretary. He's got
She
off
also
his
cut it
stuff.
from the vice president,
Cut off the vice president too.
vice chair, and so yesterday, I think it was, she sent an email saying, "You know what happened? I got cut off. I don't know. Yeah, we all got cut off."
Oh,
Well,
yeah.
yeah, sure, Britta, sure. And you've just been restoring service.
Yeah. It's like,
Yeah, oh yeah, it was a misunderstanding.
in the meantime, our RNC Republican Party committee woman, Christy Fedora, who has been a staunch,
Oh,
she's one of those who shoved Britta Horn down our throats, put out
yes.
an email today saying, "Well, I never get involved in these things." I'm like,
No,
what the frick?
what are
Yeah.
you talking about?
But the
Who'd you vote for party chair?
pushed and pushed and pushed, right? And attacked anybody else. She's saying she just wants peace for the candidates. And it's like,
Peace for the candidates.
I just want to say to those people, go away. Just go away. You guys have done enough damage. It's like, if these stupid statements, if you really wanted to help, you would tell Britta, it's kind of like the Ramsey case, right? No matter who they brought to trial, it is such a mess that you would never be able to get a verdict. I think this is, even if Britta were to have a magic wand waved over her and become suddenly a great party chair, there's been so much
No, she
damage.
can't.
The party, well, I know, but I mean, the party is in such bad shape, in such a deep financial hole, no one will ever trust her. Somebody new, and this is what I keep saying, who was hated equally by both sides to a certain extent, will have to come in. And now, again, who would want that? But there's so Christy Fedora telling everyone to just be peaceful and support the candidates, just stop it. Do you know what I
Stop
mean? You are the one who, you guys were the ones
it.
who
Cause.
pushed this all along. We fired Klenda back in September. If you had not encouraged Britta to ignore that, then whatever the 100,000 some legal bills that he racked up during those ensuing months would have not occurred, right? And now you've got a judge saying, no, I mean, there is no way for the party to pay him back. And that's going to be, I mean, you're a lawyer. I would imagine Steve Klund is not going to really forget that that's out there, right? He's not going to go, oh, well, too bad for me.
Well, he has a problem. Once we recall it, then we'll kind of, you had a conflict, you got fired, we're not paying any of it. And then he can start a new round of litigation to try to get his legal fees. Which would be the next one. And the trouble is there's no money in the Republican right. Party. So they could not pay him, you know, 25 cents on the dollar. They have to say, no, we're not going to pay you. And we hope you get disbarred. And that's what is, you know, so once you get rid of Rita, then you got to have this endless, another couple of years war against Klenda on the attorney's fees. He claims he's owed. And then we'll have to, quite frankly, counterclaim, saying, you know, you caused us all this damage and everything else. So that'll go on.
So that'll be more legal. So not
more legal. More legal.
It's you lawyers who are the problem.
It is. It always has been. Always will be.
I mean, it's just it's hard to underestimate overestimate the amount of damage that Britta Horn has done to the party in pursuing this completely unnecessary legal lawfare. It could have all gone away months and months ago. There was no reason for her to pursue it other than being mean and ugly and vindictive. And, you know, as Ray Garcia said, you got to wonder why, you know, she did this before in Rout County too, when Steve Klund was the attorney. She fought unnecessary legal battles there, left Rout County with a $90,000 debt to Steve Klund.
Who else?
You know what I mean?
I wonder if Steve will be at the next meeting.
Rout County is like, wait, why do we owe you $90,000? Like,
well,
you know.
And Steve Klund never appears at anything, not at the SEC meetings, not the SCC meetings. We never see him. Now, apparently, I've been told he looks like Uncle Festus from whatever that Frankenstein star show. But I've never seen a picture of him. I mean, you can't find him. And apparently he uses his office is in his house. So he's not part of a firm.
The ethics investigation is also bad. The U.S. Supreme Court rarely launches. Rarely launches actual investigations. And the fact that they have, he's got his own issues there as well, which he's probably trying to wrap into. So I think, and Matt made a good point, a lot of this, so the $90,000 that he billed the party, and I think they paid some of it to him, he billed before he was the party attorney. So
that's a claim. You know, he probably has his own claim, but it doesn't matter. He's racked up money that didn't need to be
racked up.
And he's gotten the party in such a pickle. And I don't see, you know.
Yeah, so this isn't just a folks that this is not anymore grassroots establishment, right? So it's not about that. The party, whatever side you're on, the party is in dire shape. Thanks to Britta. We need to have this vote. We have to have it this Saturday. And then because Britta's being Britta, she can't say, okay, she finally agreed, okay, the petitions are valid. We do have to hold a meeting. So rather than just hold the meeting that's already been set up, already has been arranged, everyone's got the Zoom links, she's like, no, we have to go to my meeting the day before caucus. So, I mean, the smart thing to do, I think, is to go to both, right? So, you know, and hopefully this latest ruling will wake people up, even people who were defending her and saying, look, even if you were initially for her, you got to understand, yeah, Matt Arnold is absolutely go to both. You got to understand she has left the party in such a hole that it has to be new leadership because no one's going to donate to her, right? Because she's going to make sure that all the money goes to Klenda, right? We need at the very least a chair who will say to Klenda, look, we're going to have to work something out, right?
And finding somebody who's acceptable to both sides is virtually impossible, but maybe we can come up with somebody. No, we haven't seen.
The only thing I would say to people, and I know some people are going to disagree with this, but let's take it one step at a time. That's first stop the bleeding and then worry about what outfit we're going to wear once we've, you know, survived that. I think the party has to act now to get rid of Klenda. I mean, some people they're already arguing about, well, who's going to be chair? That's step two, right? It's like we got to stop the bleeding first. We got to save the party. Then we can kind of turn around and say, okay, who do we want to?
And whoever is chosen as the head of the party will only be it for you know, less than a year. So, you know, try, you know, and it's true of our side in particular. Try not to be screw up the one chance.
Yeah,
we
the
have.
One chance we have.
Yeah.
Hey, so why don't we talk about something positive? Well, that's very positive.
Very positive.
The positive that we won. But is Janik Joshi out there? Janik, I don't know if you were sometimes
out there
like
somewhere. One of our candidates is expecting
is. There we go.
Expecting massive support from the party to win the primary.
Janik,
hello.
Hi, Janik.
How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Can you hear me now? Well,
we can hear you perfectly.
Thank
so
you.
You're the Republican candidate for Senate. Things are going well, and you just picked up a huge endorsement.
Yes. Last Thursday, many of you might remember Congressman Bob Schaefer. And he was also a U.S. Senate candidate in, I believe, 2008. And he has thrown his full support behind me.
Yay.
And he endorsed me, sent me a good quote to use on my flyers. As a matter of fact, this afternoon and tomorrow morning, we are sending out the emails with the news release. So probably you will get it too.
All right.
And
we'll
we are sending it to all the delegates from last assembly. So probably about 3,000 people will get it.
Bob Schaefer is one of the few people who went into Congress and he came back out of it with his reputation intact. So
yeah,
for him.
Yeah. No, he is a wonderful man, a very good Christian, very good educator. He is in support of the vouchers and currently he is a good public educator. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, and Dr. Donahue here is saying he has written endorsements for her. And she says his endorsements, in my opinion, carry weight among the grassroots. I would say that, too.
Yeah,
I yes.
She supports you. So, and we support you, too.
They're all coming in, doctor. They're all coming in.
Well, yeah.
Things, last time we talked, you said that you had actually heard some good sort of polling or at least research information that, you know, people, and again, it's an uphill battle, we acknowledge that, but that you might be in better shape than people might
think.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, the other part is, as you know, I kind of say, and everybody says that, money is the mother's milk for the politics. I mean, you could be a very good candidate, but if you don't have financial resources, it's very difficult to win. Look at the Hickenlooper, he has raised what, close to $6 million, I believe, so far, something like that. And we, the Republican candidates, are far behind, even if you look at the gubernatorial candidates and all that. But when we filed our financial report for the year end, we have just shy of $500,000, and I have over $350,000 sitting in the bank right now.
Wow.
And with these type of endorsements, I think we should see more. And I encourage people who are listening that please donate, because we have to fight the liberal. I mean, I just heard about some of the things you were talking about, and look at what kind of bills they are bringing. And why can yeah.
You can just transfer that money over to the Republican Party? No.
Yeah.
Hickenlooper, you're looking, I mean, first of all, you got to wonder, does John Hickenlooper ever actually do anything?
Well, he hasn't been in the state for years.
Right, and Michael Bennett periodically makes kind of silly but fiery speeches, but that's only because he's running for governor now.
Right.
So whatever he does, he just votes lock, stop with the most radical, progressive things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we just signed, we'll talk about this in a little bit. Palantir, the biggest company in Colorado, is leaving because of the
exactly.
state. I mean, what do you think of that?
If you actually just a couple of days ago, I had seen the headline that this company had given money to Hickenlooper and Bennett. And so when this news came, they said that this company was working with the Trump administration on fighting the illegal aliens and trying to get rid of them and all that. They actually, instead of giving money back to the company, if you read the headline, they gave it to some immigrant group here.
Well, they know that.
Like to step up.
You got to know that, you know, giving.
So, I mean, they were funneling money from some big company and then giving it to all these people who are fighting against getting rid of these criminals.
Well, good. We're glad they're leaving then.
That's right. Yeah.
Goodbye,
as
you
Jacob
guys.
Notes, Hickenlooper has a fight in his hands within his own party. Yeah, the Democrats. I mean, well, here's the thing. They're pushing more and more radical. Well, let me just a final question for you, because I know you've got every time I look on Facebook, you're at this meeting, that meeting, this group of people. You're
picking up checks left and right.
Where can people go to help and find out more?
They can go to my website, which is www.janakjoshiforcolorado.com, and they can see all the news about us or what I stand for. They can donate on it and all that. So it's a www.janakjoshiforcolorado.
All right. So thank you very much, and congratulations on the great endorsement.
Well, thank you very much. I wanted to give you the news and to your listener before you get it in the mail probably tomorrow.
All right,
get it here first.
And we'll keep coming back to you with all the good news. Thank you.
Hey.
Anytime. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You bet. Bye-bye.
I mean, that is no small feat, right? I mean, $500,000, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. And Bob Schaefer, I mean, I think
well,
Dr. Donald
get Bob getting an endorsement from a congressman is possible. Colorado, raising money.
that becomes a true
Herculean task.
That's right. So we'll see there. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about this Palantir. So Palantir is a software company. Peter Thiel owns it. He's the one who I think is
owns Jenny Vance,
according to the conservative treehouse. But it's a mass. It was the largest company in Colorado, depending on what you look at.
Well, largest not in the sense of most employees in Colorado, but largest market cap. It's traded on the New York Stock Exchange, and it's
right. Yes, yeah. But it was no small footprint in terms of employees, right? I mean, depending on what you look at, I mean, as many as 4,000 to 5,000 employees in Colorado, right? And so it's leaving. They didn't.
They just announced it. They asked the governor. No, I didn't tell.
They didn't.
And then they asked the mayor. No, they didn't. That tells you. There's the governor and the mayor right on top of
But it's clearly left because of that. They came here in 2020. And so even though they don't have anything to do with ICE, the stupid Antifa people picketed in front of Palantir. None of the politicians came to defend them. Nobody said, hey, we're glad to have you. You're a major player. And it's even bigger than that when you consider what they did when they came here. They started drawing all of these other high-tech companies here too.
Yeah.
I mean, Polis has bragged. He wants to make Colorado a high-tech capital.
Not anymore.
But when you have a company like Palantir here, that the biggest one in the universe, that makes it kind of easy, right? Everyone else wants to be here too. But when you go ahead and say, hey, screw you, Palantir, we're going to protest about stuff. We're going to riot in front of your office and do all of these things. And Palantir says, you know what? I think we'll just go to Miami.
Miami sounds nice this time of year.
And you have so many unfriendly business policies in Colorado. Colorado, it's the second most dangerous state in the country.
It's a little hard to believe.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Jacob, did you want to bring in on this? What? Are you there?
Hi. Can I say something?
You sure can.
Okay. You've got AOC wanting to make a national tax on the wealthy, and you've got Ron. What's that guy's name in New York? The mayor. He says he wants to have a wealth tax.
Yeah,
I think this is all good for the Republicans because I think that the wealthy people are just going to find the Republican who's running against AOC and the to beat her out. I don't think she's going to make it. I don't think she's going to make a third term.
I don't know what she's running for. I mean, she
well, president or who knows something
for Congress, and she's will she's got enough support there to keep on. She's rumored to be challenging Chuck Schumer, and then that would be a tough vote.
But that's 2 years down the road. That's two.
I think you're right. I mean, Jacob, all of these businesses that for a while were so caught up with being woke are all of a sudden realizing now. Well, wait a minute. You know what I mean? It's like if you're Palantir again, you're this giant company pumping.
Well, the CEO of Palantir, he loved to ski. It's a big skier. That's where they came to Colorado. They bought a monastery outside of Vail, 3,000 acres and everything else. And he lives in New Hampshire, I think. He just loves the ski thing and everything else. And he goes, forget skiing. Go to Miami,
Well, and again, think of the impact that has on other businesses. So if you're another business thinking to coming to Colorado and you have government contracts, you're like, do I, like I said, it's not like Palantir didn't have anything to do with ICE. And so, or any of other, you know, I mean, Trump policies, Palantir has been around for a while, working with all kinds of government agencies and under different administrations. And so if you're another company looking to coming in, I mean, Jacob, you do business stuff and you're like, why would I want to go to Colorado? Why do I want to risk having the politicians hammer me, having stupid Antifa people protesting in front of my building over stuff that doesn't have anything to do with me? I think I'll just go to a state that welcomes me.
Well, but that brings me to the other point. Look what happened to Boeing a couple of weeks ago in Chicago. That was a company that Denver wanted, and now they're moving to Virginia because they have to be close to the government.
Ah, well, yeah. So Colorado is, and you know, okay. And anything else on that, Jacob? We'll let you go before we let you go.
No. I just say you got Lockheed Martin here. You know, they could always pack up and go to Virginia also. So.
Oh, exactly. All right. Thank you, Jacob. Bye. Well, you look at the thing. I mean, we've talked about it on the show before. The downtown Denver office buildings, you know, which should be something.
Yeah, well, these people leased out quite a bit of space originally downtown, and they went to Cherry Creek. So there's, you know, I don't know how many square feet, 20,000 square feet available.
Yeah.
When you're moving.
Look at downtown office buildings in Denver are selling like literally for pennies on the bricks. It should be going for hundreds of millions of dollars and now going for literally like a million. Like I said, we could, you know, if we could scrape enough investors together, you could, yeah, really 1031 exchange for a downtown office building. And so, and you know, and people in Colorado, why do you think your property taxes are going up, right? The Democrats want to get rid of Tabor. They want to fund all of these ridiculous programs.
They do want to legalize prostitution. So yeah. You know, at least we'll have plenty of hookers hanging out.
Right. But do they file taxes? If we legalize,
yeah,
I mean,
sure, they're very outstanding.
If they legalize it, are they going to tax them? It's like
they'll call it tips. They're getting
all. Oh, they're going to get tips, so they won't be taxed. That's right. That was just a tip. Oh, that's kind of funny. But again, and I was reading a thing that was talking about youth unemployment for kids between like 16 and 18, right, is really high. Well, you look at that's because of minimum wage. Colorado and Denver has some of the highest minimum wages in the country,
yeah.
Right? So you're like, am I going to hire some six? First, I'm not going to hire anyone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But am I going to hire some high school kid for an entry level job when I know he's going to be gone? It's like, no. It's so their policies are directly affecting people. And I don't think they don't like to talk about it because they want to try to pretend that, you know, Trump is everything's bad with Trump. I kind of think sometimes too, I read an interesting article and it was talking about the current and ongoing AI fear porn that's out there, mm-hmm. saying it's remarkably like the COVID fear porn. And I kind of suspect that some of it's being driven because the Trump economy is doing well. And they don't want anyone thinking about that. They want everyone thinking their job's going to be taken over by a robot here in the next day or two.
And by the way, it will.
Well.
but yeah, honestly, you know, if you get on one of the paying services for ChatGPT and stuff, and you're a partner in a law firm, you get rid of all your associates. You really can.
Well, you know, I had lunch with a lawyer. I had a lunch with a lawyer friend of mine, and she said, actually, you can't trust it to write motions because she said, even though she tells it, take it only from existing cases and stuff like that, it makes it up. She said, it's good for many things, but she said,
You got to check the case, but nonetheless.
But you know, but back to Palantir, what gets me about this is, so Wessler does this story basically saying, oh, good riddance. The Denver Post is like, oh, yay, this evil company, which has, again, nothing to do with any of the politics, right, is leaving. And they don't mention, like, so NOAA, Trump closes down NOAA, and they're like, oh my God, you know, people are losing their jobs. Well, way more people are losing their jobs here, at least in Colorado, and they don't care, right? It's just a hypocrisy.
And the Denver Republican, no one, you know, rings the alarm bell saying, hey, wait a minute, we can't have lose all these companies and all these things and not have it massively. No, don't worry about it. We're doing great. Yeah, we're doing great.
Right. Then they're going to turn around and sue Trump and, you know, maybe get rid of the sanctuary city policies. Maybe go ahead and if you're a politician, you know, Jared Polis, it's like, you know why they didn't call him because they're like, screw you. They have no respect for him, right?
Right.
I mean, that's a big decision.
What are you going
to do? Yeah. What are you going to do? You're going to trash us, right? I mean, you're not going to tell the Antifa people to quit protesting. In fact, you're going to tell the police not to protect our business. So, you know, you're going to tell the police place to arrest anyone. If we have to hire a security guard to protect our business, you're going to arrest a security guard, not the protesters. So I think we'll just go to Miami.
You know, Miami sounds really nice.
Well, you know, it is, as Jacob said, some of these, you know, these red states are going to start benefiting, I think, more and more. And the blue states are going to be left more and more to wallow the Colorado Republican Party in bankruptcy. I mean, again, this kind of money leaving Denver. Denver doesn't have enough money anyway, right? Yeah. It's like they're having to fire people left and right. They can't do anything anyway. And now this company leaves. That's going to be huge, I would think.
Yeah, it is absolutely huge. Just the head tax alone in the city of Denver would be appreciable. And so company after company is leaving. No one's moving in. Mm-mm. I mean, if you're in California, you go, well, where can I go to a more friendly, business-friendly, low-tax state? You don't go, Colorado. Yeah, that's it. Now they're going, fuck Colorado.
Right. Right. Oh, Dr. Donna, they have to have a high minimum wage. You think living on the street comes free? That's true. And Leo, they need to rename Westward to Leftward. Yeah. Yeah, it used to be Westward was at least kind of insightful. I mean, this was just a ridiculous article. I mean, it wasn't even.
What was the article?
It was just saying, yay, thank God, you know, goodbye and good riddance, basically.
Oh, that was in Westward?
Yeah, that was in Westward.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
There wouldn't be any clue about what it was. They were just saying about how people, they were gathering protests. Again, the fact that the protesters were idiots
doesn't matter.
So, I fear for Colorado because, as I said, I don't know. Because you said more people are leaving, more companies are leaving. It's like the second most dangerous from a crime and safety standpoint state.
I don't believe that. Yeah.
Well, do you know anyone who goes downtown? Well, I mean, I know.
More downtown than Newark, New Jersey or something. Yeah.
Well, right. But Colorado used to be a nice, friendly, safe state that people wanted to come to. That's not how it's viewed anymore.
No.
Right?
No.
So
keep on electing those wonderful Democrats. And at least we'll get free prostitution. So that'll solve a lot of problems, I bet you.
Oh, yeah. Western has also been doing good stories on businesses opposing ICE. And here again, that's just all such stupid virtue signaling. So when a donut shop closes because they support ICE, I mean, what does that really mean? It's like they support opposing ICE. ICE removes dangerous criminal illegal aliens, right? And why would you be for dangerous criminal illegal, the same reason you're for prostitution, I guess, and child, you know, predators and things like that.
It's all good.
Yeah. It's not all good.
It's all good.
Anything else you wanted to talk about here?
Well, we could talk about, and I will leave it for another time, but this endless attacks on Victor Marks and
Scott Bottoms,
Joe Oldman and so forth. Why? And they're not going to win. So why does, Kyle Clark go after Scott Bottoms? I mean, don't people get tired of that? Does he go after Hickenlooper or Bennett or any of these other ones? No, let's kick some Republicans who have no chance being elected to a higher office. So, leftward, so that's Channel 9, Westward. I mean, it's just, so anytime you have these people, let's attack Scott Bonham. Yay! That's right.
Yeah, from Matt Arnold. See, this is true. Westward used to have actual journalists, even if they mostly leaned left. Michael Roberts, before he retired, was one example. Absolutely right, Matt. The Westward used to be worth reading because although it leaned left, they at least did
a little libertarian, a little quirky.
More libertarian. But they did an honest job about it. I mean, their Stephanie Moore is just, it's like Antifa propaganda magazine, right? With a bunch of pot ads thrown in. So
yeah, that prostitution ads.
That's why they support that. Hey, that's going to do it for us. Obviously, Monday's show will be big. We'll have the results.
Big.
The results of the vote from the special meeting.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens there. But in the meantime, thank you to Matt Arnold, not only for coming on the show.
Congratulations to him and Cody LeBlanc and
Eric Grossman.
I mean, what a great victory. So we'll see you all on Monday. Take care.
Take care, everybody. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for another great show. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dr. Donna. Thank you.